Hi, I'm Dave Barber, pastor at River Valley Church, and we are doing a podcast, and we're calling it Exploring Faith. Our desire is to let people tell their story and hear their story of how God redeemed them. And then not only that, we also around here talk about being living sent, which is how do you live your life for the role of the Lord after that takes place? So we're going to talk about those kind of things. Today, my guest is Bonnie Smith. I've been with Bonnie. I've known her for a while. I got to be in two rooted groups with her.
Right.
I've done some life group time with you guys as well. And one of the things that I know absolutely true about Bonnie is that she cares so much for the brokenhearted, in part because you've been the brokenhearted, I think, in life.
Yes.
And she cares for them. She's also done some amazing real ministry and work with even little kids who really have hard places that they live in. And so I've watched all those things. It's been really fun. So we're just going to jump in.
Okay.
Thanks for being here. Really love that. So we'll just start kind of at the beginning. So tell me about being a kid. So what was it like being a kid for you?
Yeah. For me, growing up, I grew up in a pretty tough home. You know, I had to be responsible for myself, which, you know, given that today, a lot of my characteristics come from that. But just to give you an inkling of what does that mean? I would say by 10 years old, I had to get myself up for school, get myself there, take care of myself. You know, my mom turned to me when I was 10 and said, you know, I'm done raising you. It's time for me to live my life. And she meant it. And the beauty of that is I knew how wrong that was. Hmm. And God used that because, you know, I have children of my own today. And I made a promise that if I ever had children, that I would never raise them like that. So,
And then she did. She lived her life and was gone a lot.
Yeah.
So you might be home alone. You might be getting up alone.
Yeah. Like I know specifically, like on the weekends, because my siblings were a lot older than me. And so they would go, you know, they were unbridled and all that freedom, right? And they embraced it. But being the baby, I was still a lot younger than them. And I would sleep in the closet or I'd sleep under her bed. Because I was so fearful.
And longing for.
So that, what does that produce? And it should be no surprise because when you are that vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing a testimony one time, and this totally just kind of captures what happened to me. There was a gentleman sharing his testimony, and he said, you know, in scripture where it says, you know, that which is bitter is sweet, right? To those that are starving.
Yeah.
And so that left me wide open, right, for somebody to come in and fill that need for me. So.
And that was a young man?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I was with my first husband from the time I was 11 until I was 31. And so he came from a very traditional Mexican family. And I craved that because I needed those boundaries, right?
Yes. And the welcome you family. I mean, the family's there and their lives. So,
But that too, I just realized that love was conditional. Love was conditional. So I was always working for it. So I had my first child when I was 15 and a half.
Yeah.
By 21, I had all three children.
Okay.
And I was married. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And somewhere you were in Ohio in that time, right?
Yes.
Because you met, I'm going to say Donna. Is that right?
Yes.
So tell us about meeting Donna.
Yeah, Donna Bennett.
What was the circumstance that led you there?
Yeah. So, you know, at that time, here I am, and I was pregnant with my second child, and I just remember getting a flyer to my home, and there was a teenage mother on it, unwed mother, pregnant, and it was a church inviting that mother to come, and I thought, well, if they're not going to judge her, they surely might give me a chance.
Yeah.
And I just remember saying a simple prayer. And that's the beauty is God knows your heart, right?
Yeah.
God knows your heart. I wasn't raised in church. The only thing that I will say that God used, and I've shared this before, is that my parents, with what little they had in the faith, they passed on that mustard seed. And that's what this is what it looks like. My dad, who never said he loved me. It was his decision to send my sister and I to a parochial school for 2 years. And my sister is the keeper of the memories, but I don't remember this. But now if you knew my dad, like he had one friend, he didn't talk, he kept to himself, very, very shy. And my sister said, do you remember when we had our Christmas program and Dad went and Mom stayed home? So it was so important to my dad to send us to a parochial school. And that was his way of honoring the faith. And I don't know what his story is. I still don't know what it was. And then my mom grew up in a very, very dysfunctional home. Lots of abuse. Okay. Yeah. And I finally asked, you know, she would always say, God's going to get us through. God's And I know my mom wasn't raised in the church. Let's just put it that way. And I remember asking her, and I said, Mom, where did you get your faith? And I kid you not, because she comes from this generation. And she said, without batting an eyelash, she's like, oh, I remember. I was locked in a closet when I was 4 or 5, and God made himself known to me.
Wow.
Those morsels, okay?
Yeah.
Carried with me enough that when I was 19 years old and pretty down and out in life, I just prayed and I said, God, if you're there, I'll serve you. Which led me to that church with Donna Bennett. And there has been only two questions that this has ever happened to me before. And one of them was with Donna. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but somebody asks you a question and you literally feel like you're in a vortex, like the world comes to a stop. And I was sitting at her kitchen table. She was just taking me under her wing. I didn't know all this church stuff and I didn't know a lot about the Bible.
Didn't have the right lingo. And
she even has her back to me and she's washing dishes. And she said, Bonnie, do you believe in God? And I said, well, yeah. I'd been praying to him ever since I was little. And she just left it there. And that got me thinking, right? And then what Donna didn't know was that I had prayed that prayer that led me to her church. Then she started mentoring me. And when she knocked on my door after I had my second child with her plate of cookies, because I always say God can even use a cookie, right? Whatever, right? Ministry of, she was a great baker. And she came over after I had my second son or my son. And she said, Bonnie, do you want to know that you're going to heaven? And she gave the message. And honestly, from where I come from, I thought, my first thoughts were, sign me up. Like, do you mean God would want me? And that changed the trajectory of my life. I was 19 years old.
Wow. So, and you were with your husband at that point. Somewhere in life, you ended up homeless, I think. Is that before or after that?
So because of that marriage, I mean, you know, and I got to give some grace to my first husband because I don't know how many people were together as long as we were, right? And we were just kids ourselves. So I think of that now, but it sure didn't make for an easy marriage. And there was a time where I did have to leave him because it was kind of like I had to draw a line in the sand because of some of the abuse. And I was homeless. I knew enough to call the women's shelter. And things didn't go right there. So there I was with my babes, but, but even in that, even in that, I see how God, God worked, you know, he did provide a roof over my head. It wasn't like I was on the streets, but that's how desperate I became. When a woman has children, and doesn't necessarily know where she's going to really sleep the night. That should just give you enough.
And this was, you said it was not a great situation.
No.
It did not work well.
No.
It is not a. It's not an easy way thing to do. And actually very few places take in women and their kids.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen very often. So,
So
the trajectory isn't too good. How did you kind of come back toward faith in Christ? Where did you move back in that direction? Was there a change? Was there?
The beauty is that, you know, even though I changed and, you know, one of my biggest things with my testimony is that, you know, that in itself, right, Dave, could be enough. It could be enough. It's great, right? But what I always want to share is the second half, which God brings me through all of it, right? He saves me. I know him. And then when I go through my divorce, I backslide. And I say that to the fullest meaning, you know, without going into great detail. Enough so that my family didn't want anything to do with me. My children didn't want anything to do with me. And because I was in local politics at that time, and somebody had sent a flyer to every house in my district that I had left my family. I mean, I was publicly shamed in town, in the newspaper, on the radio, and then Milwaukee TV stations picked it up too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
So that sets a picture, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my apartment alone, and I honestly was like, I'm out. I'm out. And I understood why. Like, I don't belong in heaven.
Yeah.
And I know better.
Was it more you didn't belong in heaven, or you were so frustrated with all the bad things that happened that you were kind of done with God?
Up until that point, I did. It was just, I think I hated myself.
So it was more self-hate.
It was self-hate. It was, you know, we all, there is universal themes in all of us, okay? We all want to be loved.
Yeah.
We all want a friend, right?
Yeah.
We all have the same dreams. I don't think our dreams are any different, especially if you're going to get married, right? And when they crumble, and when you have one relationship after another, and your family doesn't even set that tone for you, that you tend to truly believe that you are so broken, and it, you don't have to go far to live a life to fulfill that prophecy, right?
Yeah.
And there I was.
Yeah.
I had fought what I thought was the best fight. I wanted my family together. And then I was done. And I thought, you know? So I put myself in charge.
Yeah.
And then I started playing the world's game. And that totally left me publicly shamed, right?
Yeah.
Lonely, alone in my apartment by myself. And in that time when I was crying and totally understand, kind of praying to the Lord, I'm out of heaven for life. And I get it. That's the thing.
Like,
is
you
I
were
was
bounced
like,
out. Not, you didn't want to go. It's
right.
Just, you weren't worthy to go anymore.
Wasn't worthy anymore.
Yeah.
I wasn't worthy. And that's where the Lord was like, okay, like, he didn't speak to me audibly, but he prepared me for what he was going to tell me. And he says, okay, I want you to think of a time when you knew that I loved you. And I remember all those years ago with Donna Bennett.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, but Bonnie, I'm not restricted in time. I loved you all the way back then, knowing exactly where you'd be.
Yeah.
And that is what keeps me going.
Yeah. And you have told me this before. Actually, I've used it in a sermon before. You're the one that told me about how you had pursued all these wells, thinking that they'd bring you good living water, and they all turned sour or poison, and you just pursued so many of them, but you found the right well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You found him. And he was there, and he still loved you and still waiting. So fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
You have your kids back.
Yes, I do.
Yep. And they have invited you to be a part of their life in some amazing ways.
Exactly.
In fact, I was thinking about, you have an older daughter who I think has come to faith.
Yep.
Pretty sure. Do you want to tell us about that?
Sure.
That was pretty exciting. So
yeah. I guess the best thing about that is, you know, you know, when, you know, she too is a lot like her father, extremely shy, doesn't like the limelight.
Yeah.
And only God could do this, because she got up in front of a body of the church.
Yeah.
And she spoke plainly and honestly. And I was just like, I was able to be a part of that, to watch and witness that.
Yeah.
And another blessing too that comes, and it's not something that I looked to necessarily do, but I've shared with you on how I was asked to marry my niece. And then I got to marry my daughter. And then I got to marry my son. And then I just married my youngest son. And in all of those, I make it a point to talk about God and the importance of having him at center of your relationship.
And they all know that.
They know that.
If they're inviting you to do the ceremony of their wedding, that you're going to bring in Christ.
Yeah. And I get to witness too.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
wow.
pretty God cool. is a redeeming God on so many fronts and
right.
has been bringing your family back together for a while
mm-hmm.
and in yeah. Really neat ways. So,
yeah.
So tell me who you have a heart for. Once you've come to faith, I'm not saying things are perfect in life because they aren't. You even say sometimes I bring a lot of baggage to things. You'll make a statement like that.
Still.
What do you have word to say for those who bring baggage to church and who, you know, don't fit in as the couple, like I was raised in a strong Christian family.
Yeah.
If I mess up, it's my fault. I mean, I kind of feel that way. It's like my foundation's good.
Yes.
So if I go astray, it's me. But you didn't have that.
Right.
And so what do you tell people who come to church and are wondering if they fit?
Yeah.
Wondering if they're good enough?
Yeah. One of the things is that's super important, especially today, because, I mean, we don't have to go far. We can look on our phones, right?
Yeah.
We can be fed by all these other things. Mm. And I use this, and somebody had said this to me years ago, and they said that the people that are responsible for our country and recognizing counterfeit money, do you know what they do all day? Mm-hmm. You know this.
Yeah.
They only look at the real thing. I cannot stress that enough. Because God's going to meet you where you're at, and you need to open the word for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and really know him that way. And the beauty of that is there are going to be these times where he's going to speak to you directly. You know, I grew up thinking, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard this too, that if you believe in Jesus, you believe in God and be good, you're going to go to heaven, right?
Yeah.
And the beauty with God is that he takes his time with you and he doesn't like bring all these things all at once. But I remember in my walk in the Lord where then I'm reading in James and it says, you believe that there is one God. Good.
Yeah.
But even the demons believe and they shudder.
Right.
And it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I love that the Lord will, your relationship with him. Like he doesn't, and I know Corrie Ten Boom talked about this with her father, and she used the example of a suitcase.
Yeah.
And she said there was times where my father knew that I wasn't old enough to carry that suitcase. And our God is no different.
Yeah.
Our father, right?
Yeah.
You know, I may be 40 and just come to know him, and he's going to take his time with me. And let me tell you, and I know I'm not alone, we've got layers to peel back.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
That's right.
Years of undoing, and it's going to take time. And I love that because even when I can't stand myself, I know who he is. That's what comes from reading his word.
Yeah.
When I can't even stand in the mirror and look at myself, I know him. He doesn't change.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to take him at his word.
I have to tell you, as I hear you, one of the things that just makes me so angry with Satan is that he would take a child who is not getting nurture and love and would instead begin to breathe lies like you're no good, like you're not worth saving. Those lies, and they follow people their whole lives.
Yes.
And yet what you said is that God's good and he will keep going just gently and slowly and just keeps bringing things. I think about my own dad, who, again, didn't say he loved me until I left for college. That was the first time he did that. Didn't get told much about love, you know, as a kid growing up. But my mom always said, we just keep loving him. Just tell him every night you love him, which I did from the time I was little. And it's interesting, just it took a long time for him to believe those things. And he was always a man of integrity, so he wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it.
Yeah.
I just think about how long and patient and good our God is just to keep, I'm just going to keep going. I got you. I'm going to walk here. So, I do know that there are people who come to River Valley who they don't think they fit because they don't have all the good stuff in their life. They got trauma and baggage and they don't know for sure they fit well, but they do fit because this is God's place. It's his world and he's here and he does draw people in. So anything you could tell us just for people who maybe don't have a lot of baggage. Is there anything they could do that would be just wise in helping others not feel on the outskirts? I don't know.
One of the things that I think, only because of my experience going through this, is that I was given an opportunity to meet with these two ladies for about a period of 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
They met with me weekly, Dave.
Yeah.
And we always opened up with this. And they said, and they were there for me. And we were walking through the word and going through this study together. And they always started with, tell me about your week. And we're going to give you, Bonnie, 20 minutes to just unload.
Yeah.
Okay. Unload.
Yep.
And that was so healing. And what I learned from that was, whoa, that is how you really share the burdens. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why just having a few good mentors in your life that can carry you along is so important. And I know you've talked about like your small group of people, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are times where I know we have life groups, right? Right.
Yep.
And we can get deep, and we do get pretty deep. But this is just a little bit more than that, right? Yeah. Where we can really get down and dirty. So
I agree.
And we
what
need
you do
that.
With two or three is different than what you do with 12.
Exactly. Or 16, so, and that is, I think, imperative, and where some growth can really come there.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying that I'm doing it well. But I have found almost like that saying that less is more in that respect.
Yeah.
To really gain some growth when you have that accountability and you can be that transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An open place to say the truth.
Yes.
And not be judged for it. Be a safe place for it, where, you know, people don't go, oh,
yes,
I can't believe you did that.
Right.
That has to be a part of, I think it is a part of River Valley, although at any given moment, Christians can do it well or bad.
Oh, right.
Just that's what we do. But it is really important to have a place that's safe enough to speak whatever's not going well.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate
and
that.
And I say that because coming to church, that's the first step.
Yeah.
God has designed the corporate worship. There's a place for that, right?
Yep. Yep.
But then he also calls us to live in that small community.
Yeah.
That is equally important.
Yep.
And that is what I would say in that respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Invite people in.
Yep.
Good. I know that you live for the Lord in so many ways, because I've watched you live, whether it was teaching school for the kids at the very end of the trail where nobody else wants them and you take them at the end. And, I've seen you just love them so well. Matter of fact, we call you the child whisperer because you've got so many good skills there. And now you're actually working in the prisons, I think. You've done that some as well. So how is God using you these days? What would you say is what he's doing?
You know, and that's the beauty of God. You know, I was able to volunteer in the prison several years ago on the woman's side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, I loved being there, encouraging those women in, and that's kind of where my heart is too, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where I'm at. I feel more comfortable. Like those are my people. Like I'm there with them. I'm not saying like I'm here above you or anything, but I feel most comfortable with the people that are broken and they have a little bit of my story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then here I am, who would have known, you know, I'm working there now on the women's side. And so you think just hearing that my greatest, like the harvest is ripe, right? The population. Do you want to know where I've been the most effective? Where I've had the most conversation? Yeah. It's with my coworkers.
Really?
It's with my
coworkers. Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I go there with the intention, right? Yep. Like I'm going to serve that demographic, that population, and I am having more conversations about God with my coworkers, which has been awesome.
Which is what Paul prays. He prays for God to open a door.
Yeah.
And he doesn't tell him which door. And that's always true. When we went to do church planting in Kentucky, I remember I was most effective with wherever my wife went.
Okay.
Because she kept being, she was a preschool teacher and she was making friends. And that was the group that was ready. They were one that wanted to hear. So wherever God leads us, we want to go.
Isn't that something?
Sure. So,
Well,
do you have anything you want to say as we wrap up here? I'm so appreciative of the time you've given.
I will leave it with this. And this kind of goes back to what your question, you know, what would you say to those that are really have a different story? Maybe they weren't raised in the church and they have all this baggage, you know, of the sin and all the stuff and the regrets, right?
Yeah.
And your son, Andy, in our small group said this to me. And I wrote it in my Bible when he said it, because I said, you know, in today's culture, you know, when you think about like that before and that after photo, I just want to be at the after photo for the Lord, you know, because like I said, every day coming before him and just, it's a process, right? And Andy said, Bonnie, He already looks at you with your after photo. And that's what I want to keep. I want to leave people with is that.
Wow.
Yes.
That young guy's smart.
I know.
You got me choked up.
Yes.
And with that, we will close.
Sounds good.